Since the eve of 19th of Ramadan, in commemorating the Shahadat of Amir al-Mu'mineen, Imam al-Muttaqeen, Ali bin Abi Talib, alayhi salatu wassalam, I've been focusing on the theme of taqwa, which is righteousness. And this is basically coming from the famous title of the Imam, where we consider him as Imam al-Muttaqeen, the leader of the righteous people. And so we have been looking at different ways of understanding the concept of righteousness and some of the examples from the Quran and the sayings of the Imam, and even some examples from his own life about what does it mean to live a life of taqwa and righteousness. Let me just emphasize this point again. When we talk about taqwa, the essence of the meaning of this word is to guard ourselves against displeasing Almighty God. So it is basically a spiritual power by which we refrain from doing things which is going to cause, you know, displeasure of Almighty God. And in that way, it is not actually an issue of isolating ourselves from the society. It is an issue of insulating ourselves. We could be in a society where there is vices around, but if we have that spiritual power known as taqwa, we should be able to conduct our life on the principles of righteousness. What I would like to do tonight is go back to this question of what are the qualities which should be found among the people who are muttaqeen and who are righteous. We looked at the earlier verses from Surah Al-Baqarah. This was on Saturday. And I would like to go tonight to another ayat. It's a long ayat, a very interesting way of, summarizing the qualities which are to be found among the righteous people. And this is again from Surah Al-Baqarah, the second chapter of the Quran, ayat number 177. Almighty God actually, talks about this concept just after having discussed this issue of the changing of the Qibla. Qibla is the direction where we stand for prayers. As all of you know, that initially the direction for Muslims when they were in Mecca and almost 1 year after the migration of the Prophet to Medina, the Muslims used to face the direction towards Jerusalem. But in the second year of the Hijrah, the revelation came down that the Muslims now have to face the direction towards the mosque in Mecca. And this is where many people started, asking these questions. What difference does it make whether we face east or west or north or south? God is everywhere. And it's true that God is everywhere. But when it comes to the actual prayers, we have to do it the way we have been asked by Almighty God. And righteousness means that we have to be obedient. So if he says, till now you have been facing one direction, today I would like you to change. And because he is saying that, we have to change. And so this statement actually is coming after that. Well, Almighty God in this verse number 177 begins by saying, لَيْسَ الْبِرَّ لَيْسَ الْبِرَّ أَن تُوَلُّ وُجُوهَكُمْ قِبَلَ الْمَشْرِقِ وَالْمَغْرِبِ. It says, righteousness doesn't mean that you turn towards the east or the west. This outward expression of what you do by turning this direction or this other direction, they really doesn't mean much. It is more your sense of righteousness, commitment to the command of Almighty God. And so then, after negating that, the righteousness doesn't, necessarily mean turning to the west or the east. Then he says, وَلَكِنَّ الْبِرَّ مَنْ. Righteousness actually means these few things. And this is where he actually talks about quite a few items here, which I divided them into three segments. Number one, he talks about righteousness means you must have sound belief. And this is where he says, "Amana billahi wal yawmil akhir." The foundation of righteousness is actually based on belief in God and the last day. Wal malaikata wal kitabi wan nabiyyin. Also to believe in the angels and the books and the prophets. This is where we come to realize that, you know, Almighty God here has summarized the beliefs of Islam in this very short sentence. It says the beliefs of Islam are based on the principle of the beginning and the end. Allah is the one. He is the origin of everything. وَلْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ is the last day, the day of judgment, the day of resurrection, and the life in hereafter. In between, what happens? This is where he says, I send guidance to you. The guidance doesn't come to you directly. It comes through the angels, the agency of the angels. And so Allah then mentions وَالْمَلَائِكَ. And where do they bring the guidance? Sometimes it comes in form of kitab, you know, the revealed scriptures. And sometimes it goes to the prophets who are chosen by Almighty God. And sometimes it is combined. You will have a prophet who also have a book. And this is where we see that the summary of Islamic beliefs is there right in the beginning. Then he moves on and he says, you know, just having correct belief or sound belief is not sufficient. You should actually demonstrate your belief in Islam by your commitment on a practical level. And these are the things he says I would like you to do. Three things he mentions. Number one, وَعَاتَ الْمَالَ لَا حُبِّهِ. The very first is the issue of, we'll come to the slide later on, not now. Bring me back. Yeah. Salawat. And so then we come to the second part of the ayat where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, you know, it's not only beliefs. I would like to see practical commitment. And it begins with وَعَاتَ الْمَالَ لَا حُبِّهِ. Give in charity for the sake of the love of Almighty God. To whom? ذَوِي الْقُرْبَى وَالْيَتَامَى. First, look at those who are related to you. Number two, look at those who are orphans. Number three, وَالْمَسَاكِينَ. Give in charity to those who are poor and needy. Wabna sabil, maybe there is a stranded traveler who's run out of money. You have to help that fellow. And then wasa'ilin, who are begging on the street. Wafir riqab, and those who are in the state of slavery. Islam says you help them by actually buying their freedom. Not by giving them food, the master is supposed to provide for them, but helping the slaves means actually buying them and releasing them. This is for the day when slavery existed. Second thing on a practical level, Almighty God says, وَأَقَامَ الصَّلَاةِ, and you establish prayers. And number three, he says, وَعَاتَ الزَّكَاةِ, and pay the wealth tax, which is obligatory. So first he talks about voluntary charity, then he talks about prayers, and then third he talks about zakat and other religious dues which are obligatory on Muslims. And this is where we see that, you know, Almighty God has combined two things here. By talking about prayers, he's saying you have to fulfill my rights upon you. As God, I would like you to worship me and pray to me, and to be in connection with me, which is symbolized by salat. Then he talks about zakat, and that is actually a symbol of the rights that we have over one another. Huququl ibad, the rights that fellow human beings have upon one another. Then at the end of this verse, Almighty God now talks about this issue of some of the moral values that he would like to see as a must among those who are muttaqi, those who are righteous. Number one, وَالْمَوْفُونَ بِأَحَدِهِمْ إِذَا أَحَدُ. The very first, you know, a moral value that Almighty God talks about here is that, you know, they fulfill that agreement when they make an agreement with someone. In Islam, once you have signed a treaty as a community or a nation, or made a deal with an individual, whether the person is Muslim or non-Muslim doesn't matter. It is wajib and obligatory to fulfill your pledge and agreement with the other party. This is where, you know, if you look at the rulings of the Grand Ayatollah Sistani, when he's asked about Muslims coming to the western part of the world, is it mandatory or on them to abide by the, you know, administrative rules of the country or not? And he actually says that if you go there as an immigrant, when you sign the documents of immigration, that is like your agreement with that country. And so you have to basically honor and respect the commitment that you have made with that society. And so the very first, you know, moral value that Almighty God talks about when he talks about moral values that he would like to see among the righteous people is the issue of fulfilling the agreements that we sign with a group or with individuals. And as I said, it doesn't matter whether they are Muslims or non-Muslims, they are alike as far as this a pledge of fulfilling the agreements is concerned. The second thing that he mentions at the end in this verse is وَالصَّابِرِينَ فَالْبَعْسَاءِ وَالْضَرَّاءِ وَحِينَ الْبَعْثِ. That one of the important things that Almighty God would like to see among the righteous people is this sense of having patience. Patience is becoming really a very rare commodity here in the modern world. People don't have patience at all. And this is where we are told that, you know, you should maintain, inculcate this value of patience, forbearance, you know, steadfastness in all different situations. Fil ba'sa, which means when you are in financial stress. People sometimes, rather I would say, you know, many people, many times, in their lives go through financial stress. You have to still maintain your patience. What does that mean? That means you still work hard to resolve the problem which is put into you into stress, but do not waver away from the right way of doing things. That financial pressure should not, you know, push you to do things which are immoral and illegal. Wazzarra, another kind of, you know, situation where patience becomes very important is the physical distress. People got into different kinds of, you know, illness, disease. These are all tests and trials that we go through. And in Islam, we are told that, yes, you must go and seek the cure for it. It is actually religiously mandatory to go and get cure for the illness. But at the same time, you know, you have to pray to Almighty God that the treatment is going to be, you know, it has a good result at the end, because the treatment of the doctors by itself is not sufficient. They can give you the medicine, but they cannot guarantee it's going to work. And that guarantee is, that's where we need the prayers from Almighty God. But if nothing happens, still we have to maintain patience and realize that, you know, people are tested in this life in different ways, and they will be rewarded for that in the hereafter. And finally, the third segment of patience is hin al-ba'th. Even if you find yourself in the heat of battle, in a very, you know, challenging situation, still you have to maintain your right way of doing things. It might be an enemy in front of you, but still you cannot abandon what is known as the moral and ethical values of even, you know, conducting warfare in an ethical way. And this is something that Almighty God, you know, talking about all different issues here. At the end, he says, أُولَٰئِكَ الَّذِينَ صَدَقُوا. He says, these are the people, all these qualities that we discussed, ending with fulfillment of agreement and patience at the end. Then he says, these are the truthful ones. وَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْمُتَّقُونَ. And these are indeed the righteous people. I started with the statement that this is a verse where Almighty God talks about qualities of muttaqeen. This is where we come to the end. أُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْمُتَّقِينَ. Those people who have these qualities are indeed the righteous people. Let me now just summarize this verse that we discussed briefly into a more symbolic form. And this is where we'll need this slide. Basically, there were three parts of this verse. Right in the at the beginning, we have this foundation of the house. At the foundation of the house, this is where we are told that, the foundation of righteousness is the belief in God and the last day. And God has sent us guidance through the angels, through the revealed books, and so through the prophets, especially for us, Prophet Muhammad is the last one. And after him, we believe that the guidance has continued in form of the Imams of Ahlul Bayt, who actually teach us the values of the Quran and the tradition of Prophet Muhammad. So that is the foundation of a life spent lived on the principles of righteousness. But then we come to the practical commitment. So you built your house on that foundation. Then let us say there are three segments of the house. The very first one we discussed in that verse talks about charity. Charity to those who are related to us, charity to the orphans, to the poor and the needy, and to the beggars. And this is how, the charity for the sake of God, to please God, has been emphasized. The second commitment that God says that just believing in me is not sufficient is the issue of prayers. Prayers actually is a way of establishing our ongoing connection with Almighty God. And that's where we have these five daily prayers in the Islamic system. Then we have the third segment where we are told that we have to basically fulfill the issue of zakat, and which is the religious due of different types that we have to pay from what God gives to us in order to maintain the well-being of the community and the religious activities. But then at the top, when you put that roof on the house, the roof actually is going to protect the house. And that is where akhlaq comes in. Akhlaq is actually the cover for that building of righteousness. And there are two things that God has highlighted. There are many, many, moral and ethical values, but the two important ones is the issue of truthfulness and fulfillment of the agreement is one dimension of that, and the other is the issue of patience. And this is where the verse ends by saying, أُولَٰئِكَ الَّذِينَ صَدَقُوا. These are the people who are the truthful ones. أُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْمُتَّقُونَ. And these are the people who are the righteous ones. We pray to Almighty God that He may, give us the ability to understand the wisdom and the powerful message summarized in this verse number 177 of the second chapter of the Holy Quran. And may we always follow the example of Prophet Muhammad and his Ahlul Bayt, alayhimus salatu was salam.